Ephesians 1, verses 1 and 2 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Our most precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your blessings, Lord, for your watch care over us through the week, for bringing us safe once again here at this time, to be able to meet here in this place. Lord, for the freedom that we have to do so. We thank thee, our Father, for each one who's here, each one of our membership and those of our visitors. We thank thee for each one. Our Father, we pray for those who cannot be here. We ask that you be with them in a special way. Those who are away from us because of distance, those who aren't here because of sickness, those who are absent for other reasons, Lord, thou knowest, and we just pray that you'll bring them back safe the next appointed time if it's in your will. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless our worship today, that truly be in spirit and in truth, and Lord, that you'll forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to focus in on verse 2 and really focus in on two words, grace and peace. Grace and peace. This is, of course, part of Paul's greeting to the church, to the saints, as he calls them up there in verse 1 at Ephesus. And he begins with this greeting, and he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all familiar with grace, at least those of us that have been saved. We've been born again. We know of the grace of God. We know the song, John Newton, as he wrote it. We're all familiar with it. We can relate. Amazing grace, how sweet this sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And we know that song to be true. We know that it's right. And so when we look at this and we begin to think about it, why in the world does Paul write to the saints in such a manner? I mean, they've already been saved. They've already experienced the grace of God, have they not? The thing about reading the scriptures is that words mean things. And there's always a reason for every word, every phrase, every sentence. And everything that we read is there for a reason. There's a meaning behind it, why it's there. And I would encourage you as you read to not just skim over it like we sometimes do, especially in these epistles at the beginning. You know, we know that sometimes we skip over it, excited to get to the familiar passages like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and places like that that we know that we're familiar with, but take some time to really contemplate and ask questions. Reckon why he wrote that the way he did. Or why is it that it's there? Why did he say it this way? Paul was writing, after all, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He made no mistake while he was writing. At least not while he was writing these letters. Now, Paul himself was a man. He wrote other letters, and no doubt he himself made some mistakes. But These letters were written under inspiration of the Spirit. And so we ask questions, not like the skeptics do, but we ask questions so that we can learn. And I guarantee you, when you do that, it'll be a blessing to you as you dig a little deeper. It's good to get in a habit of reading, but be careful that you don't get into a habit of reading just to check off your three chapters or four chapters and say, I'm done for the day. Read to learn. Read to find out something. And don't get discouraged if you read and only get through one verse or one phrase. As long as you spend your time learning and comparing Scripture with Scripture and digging deeper to find those great nuggets of truth, such as these two phrases here, these two words, grace and peace. We find, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, that Paul was in the habit of writing in this manner. If you go to Romans chapter 1, in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, just an extra bonus here, but you'll find as you look in the Scriptures that saints isn't what the Catholics tell us saints are. And what mainstream, quote-unquote, Christianity say the saints are. According to Scripture, saints are those that be beloved of God, those who are saved, those who are washed by the blood of the Lamb, those who have been born again. Those are the saints. Not someone who has died. A lot of times, interestingly enough, hated by the Catholics, martyred and then later elevated up to some status somewhere. That's not sainthood. But I'll tell you what sainthood is being saved by the grace of God. You and I are saints. And he addresses the churches that way. They're saints. But we see here that as he greeted those at Rome, he said, grace to you and peace, again, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, he addressed the church of Corinth. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1 verses 2 and 3, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Verse 5 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we see that it was Paul's habit as he wrote these letters that he greeted them in such a way. Then you go and you look and you dig a little deeper and you find that in his time period, that it was the habit or the custom of people to greet folks with the word peace. So we see that it was a custom to greet people with peace, but Paul took it a step further and greeted them with grace and peace. And he didn't just stop there. He said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, living the Christian life was much deeper, is much deeper than the world around understood it to be. The Greeks had their custom. The Romans had their custom. The people around him had their custom. But he knew that grace and peace is much deeper than the peace that they spoke of. So what is grace? What is grace? Well, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor. A lot of times people throw around the word and they don't even understand what it means. But it means favor that we have no right to, that we don't deserve, that we have no title for. We've gotten it. We're getting it. But we're unworthy. We're unworthy. And what about peace? Peace, sometimes thought of as the absence of chaos. Isn't that the way the world speaks of it? Well, I'm leaving the house and going up to the mountains to get some peace and quiet. Or I'm going over to the coast to get some peace. That's the way people think of peace. Or sometimes they think of peace as being the absence of war. Well, in a sense, they're right about those things. But again, it's deeper than that. Because to the child of God, for those of us that have been saved, this is peace that passeth even all understanding. It goes much deeper than what this world understands, and even deeper than what this flesh can comprehend. It's union. It's bringing together a reconciliation after a contest or a quarrel, a great disagreement. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. In verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say there in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, there's still storms and chaos in the child of God's life, but there's always peace. And this peace that he speaks of is because of what God has done in his grace. And the result of this grace is not just peace with God. That's big and huge in and of itself. But it's also peace with ourselves. Talking about the answer to a conscience. Peace in a world that is where there is no peace. And so when we look at this greeting that he gives us, that he writes to the church at Ephesus, which is applicable to all of God's people, not only was it circulated to the Ephesian saints, but it was circulated to the other churches. It's been preserved for us, and we see he wrote in the same manner to the folks at Rome and Corinth. And in a sense, being written in the same way to you and I today here in Brantley County, Georgia, in Glynn County, in the United States. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, there is no peace without grace. And there's no peace nor grace except it comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where it's at. And this is what the whole key is when we consider this. These special blessings come from Him, not as the Creator. There are some blessings that come from God as the Creator. The rain, the sunshine, the air. Thank God for those things. But those come from Him as the Creator, but there are special blessings that come from Him as our Father through this relation that we have with Him as His people. He doesn't bestow them on everybody. He has the right to do so because we've been purchased by Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ there on the cross. Some people cry out, "Unfair, unfair, and not right," but I'm telling you, the amazing thing when we look at this isn't that there are some folks who are reprobate. The amazing thing isn't that there are some people who die in their sins. The amazing thing, or the unbelievable thing, isn't that there are some folks who are in hell. The unbelievable, amazing thing is that there are some of us who are on our way to heaven today. Amen. The fantastic thing is that any of us will be in heaven. And it's all because of God. And it's all because of what Jesus Christ has done. If we were to look at this and to consider the way things ought to be, based on what we deserve, none of us would be in heaven. None of us would be on our way there. Romans chapter 9 answers a lot of those kind of questions. We won't go there today, but, and of course, there's other passages as well. You know, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, I think, is a great name for a church. It's the name of the church I came from. It's the name of this church. Whenever I'm out talking to people and I tell them that they say, "Why did you move down here?" You know, it's a question. It's one of the first questions people ask. As if the sunshine and the fact that there's all kinds of cold weather and snow in Ohio isn't reason enough. But, you know, they want to know, "Why did you move down here?" Well, I came down here to pastor Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And like the other day, somebody said, "Sovereign Grace Baptist." He said, "That sounds Calvinistic." I said, "Well, if you mean the doctrines of grace, you're right." You're right. Come to find out, he was a Methodist, so he'd heard something about him. Something about the doctrines of grace. But when we think about grace and peace, the people of God have received these when we're saved. But there also is a sense in which, and this is where Paul's coming from as he wrote this, and that is the increase of these is very desirable. That is what Paul is aiming at here, and this ought to be our aim as well. I wonder how long it's been since we've really thought about this. You know, we often think about increasing things as we go through life. We think about increasing our paycheck, you know, at least to keep up with inflation, right? Or at least to be able to pay for gas prices as they go up. We think about making improvements on our house to increase the value of the property and things like that. We think about getting a better car, faster internet, you know, things like that. Think about getting ready for retirement and increasing for retirement fund. People talk about those sorts of things. But when did we think about our need for fresh supplies of grace and peace? Even the most seasoned of saints are in need of God's grace daily. You see, a newborn babe, when a baby's born over there at the hospital, that baby needs air, needs oxygen to live. Right away, minute one, day one, oxygen. But guess what? That's not the last time and the only time that baby needs air and oxygen. And so it is with us when we're born again. We need God's grace when we're born again, but that's not the only and last time we needed God's grace. We need God's grace daily. And the same thing goes with his peace too. Paul knew something of this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 10. Look here what he says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, Paul did some great things in his ministry, no question of it. But he knew that it was by the grace of God that he was what he was. And notice as he wrote this, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he said, as he labored, it wasn't him, but the grace of God, which was with him. You see, all the glory went to the Lord. And he knew that. Sometimes, though, some people kind of take this verse and throw it out of context. And they say, well, you know, Paul did some great things, and that was the grace of God. Well, understand something here. There was some responsibility that Paul had as well. You know, he couldn't just... Paul didn't sit on the sidelines and the grace of God got him up to move around. You see, there was some responsibility that Paul had to get up every morning and go do things as a Christian, as a preacher, as a missionary, as an apostle. There were things that he had to do. Notice what, to kind of understand what I'm talking about here, look at Acts chapter 13. in verse 43. Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. You see, these folks needed to be persuaded or encouraged to continue in the grace of God. And you and I, we need to be encouraged. We need to be persuaded. We need to be, depending on where we're at in life, depends on whether we need to be encouraged or persuaded to continue in the grace of God. To persevere, if you will. You see, that's why in the TULIP doctrine, the doctrines of grace, there's that two P's. There's the preservation, but there's also perseverance. The responsibility we have on this. Over in Titus chapter 2, look at what it says here. In the book of Titus chapter 2. In verses 11 through 15, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. So we see there's some teachings of the grace of God that are involved here. Some of those teachings involve what we ought to be doing and sometimes what we ought not to be doing. That we, as we live in this present evil world, and as we battle this old flesh daily. You see, living the Christian life isn't a matter of living like the world and then just kind of skating by. But there's some things that we're to be doing. We work as a Christian, not in order to be saved or to keep saved, but we work because we are saved. And this is what the teaching of the grace of God is, you see. And Paul, as he wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he knew. And I don't believe that this was mere words that he wrote. You see, sometimes we have a habit, at least I do, trying to get better at it. But sometimes I'll write something down and then I'll forget about it. You know, whether it's a list, you know, my wife will say, hey, you need to do something. I'll write it down and I'll forget about it. Or sometimes it's more serious than that. Someone will call and say, hey, I need you to pray for something. I'll write it down and then I'll forget. I believe Paul really put this into practice. That he really did pray like this. That he prayed for the folks at Ephesus as he wrote to them, the folks at Galatia, Rome, Corinth, other places where his letters were passed around. Over in the book of John, chapter 16. So we kind of begin to bring this to a close here, right? Thought about this passage here in John 16, verse 24. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. We need God's grace and peace daily. And oh, how we ought to ask daily, like Paul did, to desire it like Paul did. Not only for each other, certainly we ought to do that for other saints, but also for ourselves. We need His grace, peace. We can't find it in the world, that's for sure. It's got to come from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of James, chapter 4, James said it this way. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes we ask, but we ask wrongly. Sometimes we don't ask at all. Let us desire grace and peace like the apostle did. Oh, I know it's a different world than what he lived in, but praise the Lord. We have the same Father that he had, and we have the same Savior that he had. And praise God, His word has been preserved for us all these many years. May God add a blessing to His word. Thank you for your attention. And Brother Isaiah, would you please pray for us?